Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News Christian Ministries. Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. This is Pastor Juliet Schimpf speaking, and today we're talking about how to wait and what to do when God says, not yet. Pastor Brent Russett spoke on this very topic on October 26th, and it's such an important topic that we're going to look at it a little bit more today. You see, sometimes God says no, and sometimes God says go, but other times God says, go slow. And what that means is, not yet. Let me ask you, how good are you at waiting? Are you able to wait patiently in the grocery line when the person in front of you seems to have an endless supply of groceries? How good are you at waiting in a traffic jam without cursing? How good are you at waiting for your spouse without complaining? And how good are you at waiting for the more profound spiritual things in our lives? Someone probably today listening is waiting for a loved one to be healed, or a relative to be saved, or a marriage to be reconciled. Well, I want you to take comfort and courage today that those who wait on the Lord will be renewed. In the words of Isaiah, they will rise up like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. So, today we're learning about how to wait when God says, not yet. And our reading comes from Genesis chapter 15. And it's the story of Abraham and Sarah. I'm picking up the story at Genesis 15, verse 2. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will not be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up! Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Friends, we're going to come back and examine the story of Abraham and Sarah, but first we're going to listen to a song about when God says not yet. It's called He Is With Us.
Your deep
Welcome back to Good News Christian Ministries. Today we're talking about waiting on the Lord when He says, not yet. And we're going to be looking at the life of Abraham and Sarah. And I want to give us a big principle before we look at three particular points. The big principle is this: when we have to wait on the Lord. It comes from Galatians 3, verse 3. Listen to these words by Paul. Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, you are now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Friends, what this verse is getting at is that we began our spiritual journey in the Spirit, namely by being saved through faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone. And so we should continue our spiritual lives, and that includes waiting by relying upon the Spirit. But something happens to us Christians. We begin our faith walk, namely our salvation in the Spirit, but then we try to take matters into our own hands and we start to rely upon the flesh. But as Galatians 5 explains, the fruit of the Spirit is patience. And so I want to encourage you today as you listen to be filled with the Spirit, because it is the Spirit who enables us to wait when God says, not yet. All right, I've got three particular points now that I've given you that big principle. Here they are. Number one, there are no drive-through breakthroughs. Number two, a delay is not a denial. And number three, where sin abounds, grace abounds more. Let's start with the first one. There are no drive-through breakthroughs. In North America, we love drive-through breakthroughs. We love drive-throughs, period. You can drive through now to do your banking with a teller right outside your window of the car. In North America, as you know, you can drive through pretty much any restaurant now and eat on the go. And these drive-throughs will allow any mode of transportation through as long as it's got wheels. I've seen pictures of horse-drawn carriages going through the McDonald's drive-thru. We even now have funeral homes with drive-thru viewings in some of the United States. We love to do things fast. But in the spiritual world, there are no drive-thru breakthroughs. And let's look at this when we return now to the story of Abraham and Sarah. Well, a man named Abraham at age 75... was spoken to by God in the passage I read earlier from Genesis 15. At age 75, God took him and told him to look up to the sky and told him that the stars would be symbolic and as numerous as his descendants. He basically was saying also that his wife would bear a son. So at age 75, this promise was given. Now, the problem is Abraham's wife was old, and so the promise seemed ridiculous. But the Bible says clearly in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 10, that all of God's promises are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. So if God gives a promise, He shall fulfill it. If He puts a period, we must not put a question mark. So let's fast forward 10 years. Abraham is now 85 years old. And he's been waiting for 10 years for God's promise. Have any of you been waiting 10 years for something? It seems God has been saying, not yet. Well, what happens in the story? Essentially, his wife, Sarah, comes along and she proposes a drive-through breakthrough. You see this in Genesis 16. Verse 1, it says, now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my servants. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Notice what's going on here. Basically, Sarai says to herself, I'm going to fix the problem. Clearly, God has forgotten about us. Clearly, God needs a little help. He's forgotten about his promise. and I'm going to help him, and I will build my family. So she basically takes matters in her own hands and tries to have a breakthrough. Well, indeed, as she asks her husband in verse 4, Abraham sleeps with Hagar, and she conceives. And one might be tempted to say, look at Sarah, she fixed the problem. She's got a drive-through breakthrough. But the text tells us that when we fail to wait, sin is not far behind. And I want to tell you very clearly why. Because failing to wait is disobedience. Let's not call it anything else. Let's not say, I'm impatient by nature. God is busy. I thought I'd help him out. Failing to wait for God's best and settling for the mere good constitutes disobedience. And when we disobey God, sin is not far off. Look at what happens in the text. In Genesis 16, sin arrives in four areas. In verse 4, we see that Sarah's heart becomes infected. How so? Well, it says that she began to despise Hagar, the servant. Basically, she began to hate her. A second, sin enters into verse 5. It enters into Sarai and Abraham's relationship. How so? Well, they begin to fight. It says in verse 5, Sarai says to Abraham, you are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my servant in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. To which Abraham replies, your servant is in your hands. They're fighting with each other. There is sin in their home. The sin continues. In verse 6, Sarai mistreats her maidservant. She mistreats her to such an extent that Hagar flees. And the sin carries on all the way to the womb, because God is a generational God, and we see that the child himself is infected by sin. He is to be called Ishmael, and he shall be, in the words of Scripture, a wild donkey of a man who will live in hostility toward all his brothers. Friends, there are no drive-through breakthroughs. And when we try to take matters into our own hands, and when we fail to wait upon the Lord, sin is not far away. I want you to reflect on that while we listen to our next song. It's by the Maranatha Singers, and it's called In His Time. Thank you. Welcome back to Good News Christian Ministries. Today we're talking about waiting when God says, not yet. In the last segment, we talked about how there are no drive-through breakthroughs. Now I want to talk about how a delay from the Lord is not a denial. Let me say that again. A delay is not a denial. Some of you have been praying so long for something. You've been praying for decades for a relationship to be restored. Or maybe you've been praying for decades for a child to be saved. Keep encouraged. As you know, the mother of St. Augustine prayed her whole lifetime for her son to know Jesus. And he came to accept Christ on her deathbed. A delay is not a denial. We've been looking at how God seemed to delay his promise to Abraham. He gave that promise, namely the promise that he would have a child of his own, when Abraham was 75 years old. And we saw that when Abraham was 85 years old, his wife took matters into her own hands and tried to have a drive-through breakthrough. Well, when Abraham was 99 years old, says Genesis chapter 17, the Lord reminds him that a delay is not a denial. So Genesis 17 verse 1 says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you will greatly increase your numbers. Friends, that's a reminder that a delay is not a denial. And that came to Abraham when he was 99 years old. That was well over 20 years after the initial promise. Why would God sometimes delay his promise to us and cause us to wait? Why would he do this? There's a couple reasons. The first is that he's readying us to receive his best. Let me say that again. He is readying us to receive his best. And so do not be tempted to settle for the mere good. We tend to sacrifice the best by choosing the good. We often think when we don't receive God's promise that God is busy getting the blessing ready for us. You know, that's why he's making us wait. He's busy getting the promised job promotion or the vindication. He's busy getting the blessing ready. In reality, God is actually getting us ready for the blessing. Did you hear that? He's getting us ready for the blessing. The blessing is already in place. But God needs to get us ready for it. Because he's always more interested in process or sanctification than actual destination. And we can sometimes be like a little kid asking to drive our daddy's car. Any of you parents remember your kids asking to drive the car before they were the legal age? And we can go to God with our request and we're not ready yet. We're not ready to take the wheels of the car. Well, friends, as a good parent, I presume you told your child when they asked to drive your car, no, you need to grow up first. And likewise, God will sometimes cause us to wait because we're not quite ready to receive his promise. You see, until we prove faithful in the small things, we're not ready to be promoted for greater things. There's another reason why God would delay his promise to us. Sometimes he is preparing the actual circumstances. For the person who's longing for a certain job at an institution and wants to move, well, God has to first work on the person at that institution to vacate their job. If Sally wants a job at CSIS, God might need to work on John's life at CSIS and get him ready to move out. God is working on the whole big picture. And he loves everyone equally. And so he's got to work equally in John's life while Sally is waiting. Another reason God delays is that sometimes he is protecting us. Have you ever looked back on your life and said, boy, I'm glad God didn't give me what I wanted when I wanted it? He's actually protecting us. And he's purifying us while he prepares us for his perfect timing. So I want you to take comfort today. Don't give up on waiting. When God says not yet, it's not a denial necessarily. It's merely a delay. He's got your blessing already, but he's getting you ready to receive it. All right, we're on the home stretch. We've looked at there are no drive-through breakthroughs. Then we talked about how a delay is not a denial. Now we just want to close by talking about another important principle, and that is where sin abounds, grace abounds more. All of us, at some point in our lives, have failed to wait for God's best. And we've taken matters into our own hands, just like Sarah did with her maidservant Hagar. And we sin. But here's the good news. Where sin abounds, grace abounds more. And that's from Romans 5, verse 20. Let's look at what happens in Abraham's life. Well, God came back to him 24 years later when he was 99 years old and reminded him that his promise would be fulfilled. And he goes on to change the name of Abraham and Sarai, changes it to Abraham and Sarah, and he reminds them that God's grace will abound where sin is at play, and God would still fulfill his promise. Well, indeed, when Abraham was 100 years old, that's 25 years after the initial promise, Isaac was born. Isaac was born, and God fulfilled his promise despite the sin in their lives. Because where sin abounds, grace abounds more. And so, friends, maybe you've blown it. You didn't wait before marriage to have sex. You didn't wait for God's best for your career. You didn't wait and hold your tongue. Instead, you got angry and tore a strip off someone. In any case where you don't wait and sin, God's grace is abounding even more. We're all waiting on promises of the Lord. And I want to encourage us to wait in a way that looks different than the way the world works. You see, the world waits for things in anxiety. But with the Spirit's help, we can wait with peace. The world waits in fear, and we, friends, can wait in confidence that he who began a good work in us will see it through to completion. The world waits for things while grumbling. We, friends, can wait with thanksgiving. And I want to give you the perfect verse to show you what waiting looks like in thanksgiving. It's from Habakkuk 3, and this passage teaches us well how to wait. Habakkuk 3, verse 17, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. For the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he enables me to tread on the heights. Friends, I want you to wait with thanksgiving and expectation. Frankly, I want you to wait in the Spirit. If we come full circle all the way back to how we began, you began, says Galatians 3, your spiritual journey in the Spirit. Do not finish it in the flesh. For as Zechariah 4 says, it is not by flesh, not by power, not by intellect, but by his Spirit that God shall fulfill his promises. Will you join me in waiting? Will you join me in expectation? Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that your promises are always yes and amen in Jesus Christ. You are faithful to perform everything you promise. As you declared to Abraham, nothing is too hard for the Lord. Your arm is not too short to save. Your ear not too dull to hear. Nothing is too hard for you. And so I pray this morning that you will encourage the listener who's been waiting a long time for something. Encourage the listener that there are no drive-through breakthroughs, and so they should not take matters into their own hands. They must be still and wait upon the Lord. I pray you will encourage the listener who's been waiting for what seems an eternity, that a delay is not a denial, that you're getting your listener ready to receive your best in your perfect timing. And I want to pray for the listener who's discouraged. Maybe they failed to wait for you, and they settled for the mere good at the expense of the best. Encourage that listener. Where sin abounds, grace abounds more. Father, we invite you today to move mountains in our lives and to perform miracles all around us. And we will be careful to give you all the glory and the praise as we wait in the Spirit. We ask all this for your glory. Amen.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.